from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Evacuation is a priority afoot of disaster recovery in Palu. Indonesia to coordinate international assistance in Central Sulawesi. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. The National Agency of Disaster Management, BNPB, prioritizes the staff of handling the impact of earthquake and tsunami disaster in Palu, Central Sulawesi, on evacuation effort, searching and rescuing the victims. Spokesperson of BNPB Sutopo Purwonugroho on Monday in Jakarta said that the agency needs more heavy equipment in the efforts. BNPB also needs more search and rescue joint teams personnel so that some volunteers continue to come to the location. Sutopo moreover stated that the government has prepared location for general funeral at Papua Public Cemetery in Palu City.
Yang pertama, melanjutkan evakuasi, pencarian dan penyelamatan korban.
Firstly, continuing evacuation, search and rescue of victims. Secondly, burying dead bodies since the corpses have been 3 days at the hospital. Thirdly, accelerating electricity net recovery. Donggala, Sigi, Parigi, Mutong are 4 regencies of most affected condition. If evening comes, the areas are dark. It makes difficulties for the evacuation process. Moreover, Sutopo Purwonugroho also stated that the government will prioritize the handling of affected earthquake and tsunami in Palu by accelerating the procurement of fuel oil, especially for generator, set-off, hospital, and cellular operators. Indonesian government has formed task force to coordinate the reception of international assistance for earthquake and tsunami victims in Palu and Donggala, Central Sulawesi. The task force is led by Indonesian Coordinating Ministry of Politic, Law and Security that controls some ministries and other state institutions, including Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry and National Agency of Disaster Management, BNPB. The establishment of the task force is the follow-up of President Joko Widodo's mandate that gives opportunity for international assistance. Spokesperson of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Nasir, said, when met by the journalists in Jakarta on October 1st, that Indonesian government, through task forces led by the Indonesian Coordinating Minister of Politic, Law and Security, Wiranto, will decide kinds of aid and manage the distribution process that are needed by the victims currently.
Tim nasional ini yang mengadakan rapat dan dipimpin.
The national team conducting a meeting led by Coordinating Minister of Politic, Law and Security, along with Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs, I.M. Fakir. We will receive international assistance. I emphasize again, the distribution of assistance will be coordinated by the national team led by Coordinating Minister of Politic, Law and Security, so that what is needed, where it is deployed, and facilitating the acceptance of aid can be determined. Moreover, Armanata explained that some countries have expressed their readiness to give assistance such as money, search and rescue, and assistance to overcome prime shortage such as intermittent food, water, medicines, medical equipment, blankets and tents. The countries also have ready to provide assistance in the form of aircraft fleets to assist the process of logistics distribution to areas that are difficult to access and heavy equipment to speed up the process of searching for victims and bodies buried in ruins. So far, countries and international organizations that are ready to provide assistance to the victim of the Central Sulawesi earthquake tsunami, including the United States, France, Czech Republic, Switzerland, Norway, Hungary, Turkey, European Union, Australia, South Korea, India, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, New Zealand, Japan, Thailand, and China, United Nations Development Programme, UNDP, and also ASEAN Coordinating Centre for Humanitarian Assistance. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry stated that 8 foreigners are still missing after the earthquake and tsunami in Palu and Donggala, Central Sulawesi. There are 84 foreigners affected earthquake and tsunami in the province. Spokesperson of Indonesian Foreign Ministry Affairs, Armanata Nasir, said that the ministry is still searching for the foreigners since the natural disaster happened on September 28, are lost contact, while other 76 foreigners have been secured and will be evacuated from the disaster-affected areas.
Jadi dari koordinasi tersebut kita ketahui ada sekitar 84.
So from the coordination, there are 84 foreigners affected by the disaster. Only 8 of them cannot be contacted. We keep finding where they are. Meanwhile, other foreigners have been known and they are safe at diving center resort, who will be evacuated by ship. Now we are focusing on 8 foreigners who lost contact. Meanwhile, Armanata also explained that 8 foreigners are from South Korea, France and Belgium. He further said that the ministry has coordinated with the embassies of countries affected by the Central Sulawesi disaster. The ministry keeps coordinating with evacuation team in Palu and Donggala and foreign embassies in Jakarta related to the evacuation process of the foreigners. The Indonesian Health Ministry has sent a lot of water purification tablets for medical purposes in the quake-affected areas in the Central Sulawesi provincial city of Palu. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Health Ministry Nila Muluk at the Ministry of Health office in Jakarta on Monday said that the ministry will send water purifiers from Makassar. She explained the clean water is needed for medical treatment. Minister Nila revealed that the hospital needed electricity to be able to carry out surgery. She stated the operations needs electricity and the generator has no fuel. The hospital has a generator, but there is no fuel. Minister Nila stressed that health workers will find it difficult to take actions as long as the operating room is not optimal. She further said, now the medicines are still enough, but more stocks are needed in the following days. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A number of earthquakes hit Sumba Island in East Nusa Tenggara province, measuring from 5.2 to 6.3 on the Richter scale on early Tuesday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, according to the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, the latest earthquake rocked the region measuring 6.3 on the Richter scale at 7:16 a.m. The earthquake was located at 10:57 degrees south latitude and 102.22 degrees east longitude at a depth of 10 kilometers. Earlier at 6:59 a.m., a magnitude of 6 earthquake hit the region, located at 10.57 degrees south latitude and 120.25 degrees east longitude, or some 66 kilometers southwest of East Sumba at a depth of 10 kilometers. Two more earlier tremors hit the region at 6:27 a.m., measuring 5.3 on the Richter scale, located at 10.48 degrees south latitude and 120.24 east longitude at a depth of 10 kilometers. and a magnitude of 5.2 tremor at 6:12 a.m., measuring at 5.2 on the Richter scale located at 10.56 degrees south latitude, 120.20 degrees east longitude at the depth of 10 kilometers. BMKG said that there was no potential of tsunami. Taiwan, with more than 200 hotels and restaurants on the island having received halal certificates from local authorities, offers halal tourism to the people of Indonesia. As quoted by Antara News Agency, head of the Taiwan Economic Trade Office, TATO, Jakarta, John Chen, at the Taiwan Tourism Promotion event on Monday night said that with the view that traveling is the most fun way to enhance mutual understanding between Taiwan and Indonesia, Taiwan has implemented several initiatives in order to attract more Indonesian people to travel to Taiwan in the past few years. He also explained that Taiwan specifically facilitates a regulation on visa applications for Indonesian citizens. Since 2017, Indonesians who hold permanent residence permit issued by Taiwan, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Korea, Britain, or Shenzhen agreement signatories and who have no record of violating Taiwan's law can apply for an online visa on the website of the Immigration Department of Taiwan Ministry of Interior. The West Java International Airport, BIJ Bay, in Kertajati sub-district will start to serve Umroh or Minor Hajj flight in October 2018. As quoted by Antara News Agency, West Java Governor Ridwan Kamil on Tuesday said that the first Umroh flight will be served on October 13. Every year, West Java dispatch a large number of Umroh. This shows a sound economy. Ridwan said the airport has continued its coordination with airlines and travel agents to ease the plan. The airport, also known as Kertajati Airport, has extended its runway from 2,500 meters to 3,000 meters. Besides, the authority has planned to move airlines operation from Hussein Sastra Negara Airport in Bandung to Kertajati Airport. Therefore, it would need to develop further infrastructure around the airport and improve its accessibility, as Kertajati Airport would become a new economic center in the eastern part of West Java. Well, listener, that was the news.
Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Record History, Repeat Success. The torch of Asia Para Games 2018 arrived in Jakarta on Sunday. This means that the biggest sport activity for people with disabilities in Asia will be open soon, and Jakarta as the host is ready to entertain the participants of 42 countries. Even though it only has a short preparation for 2 years, Indonesia is stated to be very ready to hold the Asia Para Games 2018 in terms of implementation, competition, guest house and transportation. The Asian Paralympic Committee, APC, praised the Indonesians' readiness to host the Asia Para Games 2018 in welcoming athletes and officials. This praise was made by APC after 4 participant countries, Indonesia, Afghanistan, China and Bahrain, arrived in Jakarta on Sunday night. At present, the contingents of 4 countries have occupied athletes' houses. Special for the Indonesian team, all of them came from Solo City, where athletes took part in the training camps before leaving for Jakarta. In addition to getting praise from participant countries, Indonesia will also be recorded in the history of organizing the Asian Para Games. The Asia Para Games 2018 in Jakarta is the 3rd one after the first in Guangzhou, China, and the 2nd one in Incheon, South Korea. Indonesian success in the 2018 Asian Games, both in terms of implementation and medal acquisition, can certainly be used as a motivation for both athletes to compete and for the community to be a good host. The opening of the Asian Para Games 2018, which will take place from October 13 until 6 until Turton is only 4 days ahead. It is expected that the nation's best athletes, both women and men, in the pillow sport for people with disabilities will be able to make history and repeat the success of the Asian Games 2018. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day. Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll begin with October the 2nd, 1958, Guinea, independence from France. French President Charles de Gaulle stated on August the 8th, 1958, that Guinea, one of the French colonies in Africa, would be given a clear choice between more autonomy in the new French community or independence immediately in the referendum to be held on October the 28th, 1958. Other colonies chose the first, but Guinea, under the leadership of Ahmad Sékou Touré, explicitly chose independence. The Guinean Democratic Party, led by Ahmad Sékou Touré, won 56 out of the 60 seats in 1957 regional elections. On October 2, 1958, Guinea proclaimed itself a sovereign and independent republic from France with Sékou Touré as president. Guinea, or Republic of Guinea, is a country in West Africa. The country, which has an area of 246,000 square kilometers, is sometimes called Guinea-Conakry to distinguish it from its neighbor Guinea-Bissau. The capital, the center of government, and the largest city is Conakry. Guinea is close to Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Ivory Coast. Guinea has 24 tribes. The most dominant are Fula, Mandinka, and Susu tribes. I'll turn to October 2, 2007, International Day of Nonviolence. October 2 was decided as the International Nonviolence Day because Mahatma Gandhi was born on that date in 1869. The leader of the Indian independence movement died on January the 30th, 1948, while still maintaining his belief, fighting without violence or ahimsa. Therefore, until now, Gandhi was known as the originator of the philosophy and strategy of nonviolence. According to the UN General Assembly resolution of June 15, 2007, the commemoration of International Nonviolence Day was formalized to spread the message of nonviolence, including through education and public awareness. The establishment of the International Day of Nonviolence Day by the United Nations aims to spread the message. According to the UN General Assembly resolution of June 15, 2007, the commemoration of International Nonviolence Day was formalized to spread the message of nonviolence, including through education and public awareness. The resolution reaffirms the relevance of the universal principle of nonviolence and the desire to guarantee a culture of peace, tolerance, understanding, and nonviolence. I'll end this Today in History with October 2, 2009, UNESCO sets batik as an Indonesian cultural heritage. The United Nations organization which oversees the issue of culture, UNESCO, has approved batik as a non-material cultural heritage produced by Indonesia. The intangible cultural heritage is included in the list created under the 2003 UNESCO Convention on the Protection of Cultural Heritage. Indonesia has become a party to the convention. The inauguration of batik as a cultural heritage that is not an object of UNESCO was held as a series of events from September 28, 2009 to October 2, 2009 in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. Until now, October 2 is celebrated all over Indonesia as National Batik Day. Well, that was Today in History of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia, through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, today's topic is Pancasila fortifies Indonesian people from splitting. Indonesian people must be convinced that Pancasila is a joint wish. Pancasila as an ideology is able to unite the princes in Indonesia. This was stated by Deputy 1 for the Study and Material of the Pancasila Ideology Development Agency, BPIP, Ana Saidi in Jakarta. Quoting Sindonews.com, Ana Saidi said that in Indonesia, as a country that has various ethnic and religious tribes, Pancasila also seals Indonesian people from splitting and counterattacks at alternative ideologies that are easy to enter because of poor understanding of the people. Ana's views that without Pancasila, Indonesia will lose and experience a split in welcoming Indonesian future. He also asserted that the people must believe in themselves, that only Pancasila can bring together various differences in Indonesia and become an equality to good Indonesian nation and be able to reject radicalism. In addition, Anas Pudar said that the magical power of Pancasila ideology has a force that is carried out as a guide in the state. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairperson of Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, Abdul Mahimin Iskandar, during the four pillars of the MPR Socialization event in Semarang Central, Java, called for components of the people to maintain the ideology of the nation and state that has been inherited by the nation's founding fathers. Mahimin, as quoted by Detik.com, said that the ideology of Pancasila has been able to save the Indonesian people from dispute and splitting. Mahimin feels that what has been said by the nation's founding fathers had been through very long thoughts. They have thought of not only the past but also the present and the future. Mohaimin also explained that the founding fathers of the nation, especially the Islamic scholars or ulamas, were certainly aware that the majority of Indonesian people consist of Muslims, but they also realized that this Indonesian nation is not made up of Muslims. There are also Christians, Hindus, and Buddhists, and all must have the same place and opportunity. Mahimin Iskandar added that although they succeeded in formulating the Jakarta Charter, the formula was not used. The Islamic scholars were even sincere to withdraw the Jakarta Charter and replace it with Pancasila as known by Indonesian people until today. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pali. The National Agency of Disaster Management, BNPB, prioritized the staff of handling the impact of earthquake and tsunami disaster in Palu, Central Sulawesi, on evacuation effort, searching and rescuing the victims. Indonesian government has forced task force to coordinate the reception of international assistance for earthquake and tsunami victims in Palu and Donggala, Central Sulawesi. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry stated that 8 foreigners are still missing after the earthquake and tsunami in Palu and Donggala, Central Sulawesi. A number of earthquakes hit Sumba Island in East Nusa Tenggara province, measuring from 5.2 to 6.3 on the Richter scale on early Tuesday. The West Java International Airport in Kertajati sub-district would start to serve Umroh or Minor Hajj flight in October 2018. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, we will introduce you about Tobaro Dange, a typical food from Palu, Central Sulawesi. So stay tuned. Listeners, rice is the main course for most Indonesian society. However, for people in East Indonesia, sagu is one of the main courses for daily consumption. Sagu is more popular than rice in East Indonesia, as sagu's growth is not affected by seasons. This main course can be processed into various cuisines anytime. Usually, sagu is served as papeda by people in East Indonesia. Papeda is one of the main foods for the society in Papua and other regions in East Indonesia. Sagu is typically served as papeda in Papua, but in Central Sulawesi, it is served as another dish called Tobaro Dange. Listeners, in Palu, Tobaro Dange is also known as Jepa, a cuisine made from grated coconut. The snack is known for its uniqueness since it is still produced traditionally by using heart and a pot made from clay. People believe by maintaining its uniqueness through the process of making and the equipments used to produce the dish, the quality of Tobaro Dange's taste can be preserved excellently. The snack is made from the mixture of sagu and grated coconut. Usually, the snack is added with fillings. You can choose the fillings, either fish or snack. Listeners, here are the steps to cook Tobaro Dange. Firstly, mix sagu and grated coconut. Then put some salt to make it savory. Secondly, cook the mixture on a pot or pan made from clay. The mixture is cooked on a hearth. Next, add the mixture with fillings such as fish and brown sugar and fold it into two. After that, take Tobaro Dange from the pot and it is time to enjoy it. Tobaro Dange is better served hot. If we leave it for some time, the texture of the sagu will get hard and difficult to chew. Therefore, a lot of people eat this culinary right away after buying it. Listeners, the taste of the sagu can be either savory or sweet. It will taste more delicious when we add minced fish with sambal or chili pepper paste. For those who prefer enjoying savory Tobaro Dange, you can choose minced fish with sambal as the filling. Meanwhile, if you prefer having sweet Tobaro Dange, brown sugar filling is the suitable choice. Nowadays, Tobaro Dange is sold in some places in Palu, such as in Ria Park and along the Cumi-Cumi Street. In the evening, women offering Tobaro Dange start packing the street. Usually, Tobaro Dange with brown sugar filling is sold 4,000 rupiah each, while the one with spicy fish filling cost 5,000 rupiah. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder about Tabaro Dange. See you on our next edition with other interesting topics.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome back to Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI's foreign broadcasting station, and the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture's Language Development Agency. Today's topic is, ada orang yang tenggelam di sana. Or in English, somebody drowned there. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on ada orang yang tenggelam di sana, or somebody drowned there. Tony and Joko's family are traveling on Parangtritis Beach. They are chatting on the beach. Endah, tadi ada orang yang tenggelam di sana, Tony. Oh ya, apakah dia selamat? Endah, ya, penjaga pantai menolong dia. Tony, syukurlah. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely ada orang yang tenggelam di sana, or in English, somebody drowned there. I will say the words 2 times and you can repeat after me. Tadi, tadi, which means earlier. Tenggelam, tenggelam, which means drowned. Tadi ada orang yang tenggelam di sana. Tadi ada orang yang tenggelam di sana. There were somebody drowned there. Apakah dia selamat? Apakah dia selamat? Which means, is he safe? Penjaga pantai. Penjaga pantai, which means coast guards. Penjaga pantai menolong dia. Penjaga pantai menolong dia. The coast guard helped him. Syukurlah. Syukurlah, thank God. Kemarin ada ombak yang besar. Kemarin ada ombak yang besar. Yesterday there were big waves. Apakah dia tidak apa-apa? Apakah dia tidak apa-apa? Is he okay? Apakah kamu baik-baik saja? Apakah kamu baik-baik saja? Are you alright? Minggu lalu. Minggu lalu. Last week. In the dialogue, you heard Endah says, ada orang yang tenggelam di sana. Ada orang yang tenggelam di sana. Or in English, somebody drowned there. Endah told Tony about the events he saw. In telling an event, usually there will always be adverbs of time, such as tadi. Tadi, which means earlier. Kemarin. Kemarin, which means yesterday. Minggu lalu. Minggu lalu, which means last week. Example. Kemarin ada ombak yang besar. Kemarin ada ombak yang besar, which means yesterday there were big waves. Minggu lalu ada orang yang tenggelam di sana. Minggu lalu ada orang yang tenggelam di sana, which means last week there were people who drowned there. Next, to find out whether the person concerned is safe or not, there are several expressions that you can use. Example, apakah dia tidak apa-apa? Apakah dia tidak apa-apa, which means is he safe? Apakah dia selamat? Apakah dia selamat? Which means is he okay? Apakah kamu baik-baik saja? Apakah kamu baik-baik saja, which means are you alright? Before ending, let's learn Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of a conversation once again. Tadi ada orang yang tenggelam di sana. Oh ya? Apakah dia selamat? Ya, penjaga pantai menolong dia. Syukurlah. After listening to the above conversation about ada orang tenggelam di sana, ada orang tenggelam di sana, or there were people who drowned there, which I will provide an exercise related to the words that you learned so far. The exercise this time is to describe the disease you have suffered by mentioning name of the disease, when did you experience the pain, how long have you been sick, how does it feel, where do you seek treatment, how many times a day do you have to take medicine. Example, nama saya Danu, saya pernah sakit gigi 2 bulan yang lalu selama 2 minggu. Saya merasa pusing dan berobat di rumah sakit Medika. Saya harus minum obat 3 kali sehari. That was today's edition of Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian or Bahasa Indonesia. As an exercise, send your voice recordings in Indonesian to email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be an attractive gift for the lucky listener who will be announced in November 2018. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Music Corner, a segment which presents you Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you Malay songs. To initiate our program for today, let us listen to a song entitled Bujang Telajak, performed by Bujang Tanjak and Cik Inong. The song tells about the life of Bujang Telajak. Listener, enjoy the song.
Malang nasib bujang telajak, kemana pergi orang tak ajak. Malang nasib bujang telajak, kemana pergi orang tak ajak.
Disuruh kawin, dia tak endak, kalaulah malam berkawan cecak. Disuruh kawin, dia tak endak, kalaulah malam berkawan cecak.
Kedekat buah kedeki, balik atas bukit. Tergak nak berbini tapi tidak ada duit. Kedekat buah kedeki, balik atas bukit. Tergak nak berbini tapi tidak ada duit.
Malang nasib si bujang labo, pisang kemuda badan dah bongkok. Malang nasib si bujang labo, pisang kemuda badan dah bongkok.
Kawan melo, orang yang kawin, dia yang...
bukit, tegak nak berbingi tapi pinggang sudah sakit. Dekat gua gedeki, baling atas bukit, tegak nak berbingi tapi pinggang sudah sakit.
Listeners, you have just listened to a Malay song called Bujang Telajak. In Malay language, Bujang Telajak is a term used to define a man who has not yet found someone or made to marry with an accompanying his life. In accordance to the song, the lyrics tells about the dreadful fate of Bujang Telajak, who neither has friends nor money. The interesting thing about the song is that the lyrics are humorous poems. The music is arranged in fast tempo as if it takes its listeners to sing the song and dance. Next, we have another Malay song entitled Duduk Termenung. The song tells about someone who often sits while contemplating about things. The lyrics of the song remind its listeners not to overthink about the past and persuade them to sing along. Here is the song Duduk Termenung. Happy listening.
Jangan duduk termenung membuat hati bingung. Usah merajuk-rajuk, muka abang tambah buruk. Usah dikenang-kenang kasih yang telah hilang. Mari kita berdendang supaya hati
hidungnya kembang.
Kalau pemain layang main di hari patang, walau hidung dan kembang banyak jandonan sana.
Hei Pono, banyak anak gadis kenapa cari janda?
Iyalah pula, dia kan bawang janda.
Jadilah berindah deh kau. Perawan memang menawan. Janda dia berpengalaman. Alah jalan deh kalian.
Listeners, you have just listened to Duduk Termenung, sung by Mak Pono, Bujang Tanjak, and Mak Inong. The lyrics of the song consist of humorous poems. The song is composed in both Riau and Minang Malay languages. With its fast tempo, the song sounds catchy and attracts its listeners to sing together. To end our music corner program, we have a song called Apa Nak Jadi by Mak Pono and Bujang Tanjak. The song tells about a man who has a lot of excuses of not having gotten married. The lyrics consist of dialogical poems. They consist of humorous poems with the mixture of Minang and Riau Malay languages. Similar to the previous songs, the music has fast tempo and it takes anyone who listens to it to dance. Listeners, that was Music Corner. We hope the songs we present can improve your insight about Indonesian Malay songs. See you in our next edition.
Tengah sawah.
Saya baru balik dari Malaysia, Mak Pono.
Anak bini apa? Apa pun ada bawa?
Anak bini pula, Mak Pono tanya. Berbini saja belum? Mak Pono, mana anak? Mana bini?
Itulah masalahnya. Jangankan anak ke bini saya, enggak.
Berarti kita satu nasib. Yang satu bujang tua,
yang cie bujang apa?
Apa nak jadi? Apa nak jadi? Sampai sekarang tak kahwin lagi. Apa dah jadi? Apa dah jadi? Kalau tak kahwin menyesal nanti. Apa dah jadi?
Mak Pono, dengar aku cerita eh.
Ayolah. Mula-mula kisah diriku hendak cari bini. Sekali dapat yang di hati. Kulitnya pula hitam macam kuali.
Hati dan tapawi pula kasihan ti.
Kan mantap tu.
Mantap apa dia?
Kami berjanji sedih sumati. Kiranya besok pagi anti sebana mati.
Nasib engkau Mak Pono, pede umur.
Indahlah jadi.
Hei, nasib kita nampak ni Mak Pono. Engkau dapat bini pendek umur, aku dapat bini hitam macam kuali.
Baaka jadi.
Kenapa?
Baaka jadi.
Kenapa?
Sampai kini kau alun babini.
Ah, sama lah kita.
Biloka jadi. Biloka jadi. Sampai kini kau lun laku lain. Carikan tali.
Usah macam tu Mak Pono, masih banyak betul yang lain.
Bertatap pula dengan gadis rupawan.
Ah, mantap pula rupawan tu.
Putih kulit wajah berseri.
Alah sebenarnya engkau.
Sekali bersuara, rupanya jantan.
Wanita separuh jadi.
Bacinto pula sama si Aisyah.
Ini lawa ni.
Lamo bada dan maminang.
Ha, tunggu apa lagi?
Jauh orang lain Aisyah manika.
Kan terlambat.
Marano lah sudah.
Bila lagi kita nak berbini Mak Pono?
Hey, itulah dia yang sansai lah badan.
Nama gila kita cari yang lain lagi.
Apalah, 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 apalah.
Apa nak jadi? Sampai sekarang tak kahwin lagi. Apa dah jadi? Apa dah jadi? Kalau tak kahwin menyesal nanti. Apa dah jadi?
Ha, ini yang ketiga pula. Ha, baca tu.
Makku menjodohkan dengan gadis di kampung.
Ha, bergoda sana boleh jadi.
Yang ku harap dia punya hidung mancung. Ha. Sekali ku tengok giginya tersorong.
Hei, ya, ya, ya.
Bacinta pula juga di barambut panjang.
Ha, penjelana nak. Itu dan ragu. Ada ngasal cerita, Den.
Gadi rancak sungguh menawan.
Menawan atau ipar gunawan?
Sadang baduo inyo kajang-kajang.
Oh, parah, 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 parah.
Bapaknya Ki Ayah.
Innalillah.
Gagallah proyek tanjak. Tanjak.
tiok manika Pak Wali mati. Mbak Aka jadi rancak ini kau dan gantuang diri.
Astagfirullah.
Maiki Pak Wali.
Jangan-jangan bawa bertobat.
Akhir kisahku bercinta pula dengan budak lalang.
Hah? Budak jalang?
Lalang. Hatiku dah mulai senang. Sudahkan nasib budak tu pun menghilang.
Oh, kabur macam itulah.
Kasih dan terakhir terdorong karena ajo adang. Berjanji basuh di tepi ladang. Kiranya lah duduk berdua je urang.
Selingkuh?
Ya. Tak kicuah di nantara.
Mabono, nampak-nampaknya kita berdua ni takkan ada punya bini.
Itulah,
sampai bila kita tak tahu dah.
Nasib-nasib.
Apa nak jadi, apa nak jadi, sampai sekarang tak kahwin lagi. Apa dah jadi, apa dah jadi, kalau tak kahwin menyesal nanti. Apa dah jadi.
Tanjak.
Iya, Mak Pono.
Nampaknya kita kok kena santuan pelalai kau, Tanjak.
Begitulah, Mak Pono. Kita kena bagi bujang lapuk sampai dalam kubur.
Ambo rasa iyo, tapi ambo ragu.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.